house and killed him. A UN spokesman, Farhan Haq, said Secretary-General Ban Ki-moon was concerned about the spate of killings.
These developments underscore once again the importance and urgency of conducting a thorough, credible, and transparent investigation into the circumstances surrounding the assassinations in Guinea-Bissau. The United Nations will be consulting with national authorities and the International Contact Group on Guinea-Bissau to explore what more needs to be done to end impunity and restore the respect for the rule of law in the country.
The United States has dismissed Israel's claim that it reached an understanding with the Bush administration, allowing it to continue to expand Jewish settlements in the occupied Palestinian West Bank and East Jerusalem. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton says there was no record of such an agreement. A United Nations report says Iran has amassed more than 1,300 kilograms of uranium, which analysts say is well over the amount needed to make a single atomic bomb. The UN Security Council wants Iran to stop all uranium enrichment programs until the UN's nuclear watchdog, the IAEA, can inspect the uranium development program. The 2020 Cricket World Cup has opened in England with a surprise defeat for the host team. They were beaten by 4 wickets by the Netherlands, who are considered rank outsiders. The match kicked off 16 days of top-class cricket, with 12 teams hoping to lift the trophy. BBC News.
Welcome to the first program, Sound Living. I'm Ed Bremmer, host of the program, and we are inviting you to call in and talk with our first guest for this first program, Everett Mayor Ray Stephenson. In addition to questions you might have for the mayor this afternoon, I'd like to ask those of you who are listening to join us in our conversation and ask you to call us and tell the mayor what one project or change you might suggest that he implement to make Everett immediately and forever better for you. That's what we're doing on Sound Living this afternoon, a conversation with the mayor of Everett, Ray Stephenson. Welcome, and thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Ed. It's great to be here. I'm looking forward to this program and this format, so thank you very much.
Well, you have a great deal of courage to come in and be the first one, so we'll see how this goes.
All right.
You were born and raised in Everett. You attended Everett schools. You served in the Army for a couple of years. You spent some time as a commercial fisherman. You went into the city council in 82. You were mayor in 03. Lots of things to talk about before we get to that, though. For my personal interest, I'm just curious to know if there was a time when you wanted to live someplace and be something else, a fireman, a farmer, an astronaut. Or was Everett never beyond your interest? You always wanted to.
Well, I love Everett, and as what you didn't mention and was a big part of my life was 33 years with GTE and Verizon. That was really has been my main occupation. So when I served on the Everett City Council, it was then and still is a part-time job. So I was fortunate to work for a company that allowed me to do that. But, you know, I probably not unlike people of my generation, was very moved by President Kennedy and Robert Kennedy, and I think clearly in my generation that really piqued my interest for public service. And I'm hopeful today that the young people see that same kind of inspiration in President Obama.
No, if you weren't doing public service, what would you be, an astronaut, a fireman?
What would I be? Well, you know, I often say this because I was so passionate about commercial fishing that if I could have made a living doing that, I probably wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today. Obviously, that industry has changed significantly, but back to my family roots in Iceland, we come from long history of fishermen from there, and then my parents grew up in Blaine, and so I've fished Alaska and Washington State.
Salmon? What were you fishing?
Salmon primarily.
Anything that was in the water?
Salmon, but you know, when I was in junior high school, I actually fished perch with a former senator and congressman Jack Metcalf. So if it was on the water, I was there. I love being out on the water.
We're talking with Everett Mayor Ray Stephenson on Sound Living, and you're invited to join our conversation at 425-303-9070. Talk with the mayor, ask him a question. What project would you like to see him implement if he had omnipotency for just 24 hours that would change Everett forever and make it better for you? 425-303-9070. You mentioned that you were fishermen, so there must have been some poignancy when the Port of Everett got rid of all of the shipping or the fishing shacks and the storage areas and put all of those folks off the port district. That must have been a poignant time for you.
Well, I spent a lot of my youth in those net sheds down there, putting nets together to go fishing, and still have dear friends that I worked with. It was a really a magical time for a young man of 15 to go to Alaska that first year. I often tease that, and this is almost true, that my late mother didn't talk to my father for that entire summer when I was gone, because he said it was okay and she said it wasn't.
Well, the it must feel sometimes at odds that you are at odds with the port district a little bit, because they've got their plans for the redistricting or the redevelopment of that area. They cleared out all those net sheds, all of those jobs were lost, and at the time when the city is trying to attract business, to attract and enhance its economy, there are jobs that the Port District takes away. It seems to me that you might be at odds a little bit.
Well, let me just speak first to the commercial fishermen. While it's true that those net sheds are gone, there's still a fleet there, albeit smaller, and that's primarily because of the state of commercial fishing, but they still operate out of this community. You know, the one thing that we don't have an effect on is change, and I think that change will come whether we plan for it or not, and I think both the Port of Everett and the City of Everett are trying to plan for what the new Everett will look like. I think clearly the Port of Everett's project on the waterfront, albeit delayed because of the economy, is still a very desirable project. The new port addition, the new marina that they've installed is incredible. I'm there with my boat, so I see it firsthand. But, you know, I would say that on most issues, the City of Everett and the Port of Everett are pretty well connected. There's a good dialogue between the two governmental agencies.
Do the two of you sit down together regularly and talk? Do you get emails? Do you memo one another? How do you have that communication operating?
Well, first of all, my governmental affairs director attends most all of the Port Commission meetings. John Moore, the executive director, and I meet a couple times a month just to, you know, stay current with each other on what's going on. And then we actually have a quarterly meeting, Ed, between the port, the Boeing Company, the City of Everett, and Snohomish County. So there is a fair amount of communication, and it's really been quite helpful.
We're talking with Everett Mayor Ray Stephenson on Sound Living. Our phone number, 425-303-9070. We'd like to invite you to call and talk to the mayor. What project would you like to suggest that would implement and make Everett a better place for you immediately? Jeff is on the line with us here right now, and I think Jeff is from Everett. Jeff, you with us?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks for joining us on Sound Living this afternoon.
Thanks for taking my call. Hello, Mr. Mayor.
Hey, Jeff. How you doing?
I'm fine, thank you.
All right.
So, my question comes out of, I'm an artist, and I've noticed that when I went to a fundraiser at the event center, a fundraiser for the Everett Gospel Mission, there was a good collection of glass art upstairs. And I've since taken my family and friends back up there to see it, and it's always locked up. Can't get in there. So my question, several questions. First of all, why is it locked up, or how could it be made more accessible to the public? Does the public even know that they own such fine work? And is there more art, and where is it, and can we get more and have it more accessible?
Well, you know, I don't specifically know about this glass collection, but I certainly can find out. Hopefully you've taken advantage of our art walk in downtown Everett. A lot of that art, Jeff, is on loan, and so we try to rotate it as to keep it fresh and keep it interesting for folks. This next weekend, Sorticulture is our big three-day annual event, both gardening and art, and it's always a huge success. We actually also have an art collection, Bernie Weber, Arnie Jensen pieces throughout the city, and Old City Hall, which is now the police department. So there is a lot of art around, and I am a big believer and a big supporter of the arts. Hopefully you know about our art space project that's under construction that will house a new artist as well.
Yes,
as...
Yes, I do know about that,
good.
And I can't wait to get my application in there. They're building my new home right now.
All right, well,
yeah.
They're going to build my home and my retirement so I can write the next great American novel. So,
right. Are you going to be my neighbor?
I may be your neighbor.
Jeff, Jeff, what kind of artist are you?
I paint on glass.
Paint on glass, all right.
Yeah. Just enamel on glass, but I don't know anyone else who does anything quite like it.
Well, if you had the opportunity to ask the mayor to make one change for the city of Everett that would make your life better, what would it be?
Buy my art.
All right.
Buy lots of it.
All right.
Big installment, yeah.
All right, Jeff, thanks for your call.
Thanks, Jeff.
I really appreciate your time, and Mayor, thank you very much. I was I'm very much encouraged by your response. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Talking with Mayor Rafe Stephenson on the program Sound Living, the first program of a series of live conversations, dialogues, communications, conversations with folks in the Everett area, and the phone number 425-303-9070. Let's go back to art space for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
The Port Gardner condos are on hold. There are so many places in Everett that say coming soon, condominiums that are on hold, the Riverfront project on hold. What's the status of that art space project, and when would you anticipate the being able to move in and write your book?
Well, I hopefully after a long political career, Ed, but we're actually under construction. It is on Hoyt behind the just north of the Monte Cristo building. It's on former city property, and really the incredible message, I guess, or story about this is this was a community effort of people coming together and contributing to the construction of this project.
And probably for someone who might not be familiar with ArtSpace, this is a nonprofit organization that comes into a community like Everett. It's a competitive process. They build this building that is not only living space for artists, but it is also space for them to do their art as well.
That's right. And it should be and has been in other communities an incredible draw for tourists. There's nothing, and I'm sure Jeff would agree with this, there's nothing more exciting than seeing artists complete their art. And you know, we will, as I understand it, they'll have an opportunity as well for people like you and I to try our hands. So it should be an incredible project.
Art talent has never been anything that I've been accused of having. So I won't be trying my
hand. You won't be
trying.
Okay.
We're going to take a break. We're going to slip in and take a look at the commute on the road home. We're talking with Ray Stephenson on Sound Living. The phone number 425-303-9070. We'll be right back.
And you're tuned to 90.7 FM KSER Independent Public Radio. Quick check on the roads as your commute proceeds. Right now, Bellevue to Everett travel times about 40 minutes, so it's a little bit better than the average. And Seattle to Everett right now looks like that's about 41 minutes. So a pretty good day, probably a Friday, and everybody's trying to take a little bit of time off. There are no major accidents to report at this point, but the traffic gets really heavy as you proceed north on Interstate 5 towards Everett. particularly bad right around State Route 526. It's stop and go all the way from there into the city and up through Marysville. 405 is looking a little bit better, slows a little bit around Northeast 195th and just as you leave Kirkland. But otherwise, a pretty good commute and certainly a beautiful afternoon. Tonight, mostly cloudy, lows in the 50s. And on Saturday, mostly cloudy, highs in the 60s. And Sunday, somewhat the same, maybe a little bit of sun peeking through. You're tuned to 90.7 FM, KSER. Back to Sound Living, Ed Bremmer and Mayor Ray Stephenson.
And what one project would you change or suggest to the mayor that be implemented to make Everett a better place for you to live? If you have an idea, 425-303-9070. Or if you have a question for the mayor, you can call that number, 425-303-9070, and become a member. And sort of pledge break here. And talk with the mayor. What project would you suggest that would make Everett a better place for you immediately, if the mayor could take care of that? We were talking before the break about the Art Space project. Mm-hmm. Is there a target date for that to open?
That project will open early next year.
Early next year.
So it'll be ready to go, and we're looking forward to
And do you have any idea yet at what its capacity, what the capacity is? Is it full? How many people have applied to?
I know there are several applications, but I'm not sure
check
as
the
to.
Check the Everett website for that?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. Right.
What is the status of downtown redevelopment? We were talking about that. We've got the port project is on hold. Mm-hmm. The Port Gardner condos are on hold. That riverfront project is on hold. Company, the developer there, went bankrupt owing us about $1 million. Are we going to see any of that money, and what is that status there?
Okay. Well, let me speak first to downtown. A couple years ago, the city council took an incredible action to do a comprehensive downtown plan. And then following that plan, which was over a year in the making, they did a streetscape plan as well. What also happened during that time is we lowered the number of units that would qualify for property tax breaks for building in multifamily in downtown. And I think that alone has really helped us in seeing more development occur in residential units. The Library Place is under construction. It's a former Elks site. The new Elk site at California and Hoyt is 9 condominiums that are near completion. At Rucker and Pacific, the old Good Guy's Car, there's a new apartment complex going on in there. All in a really pretty difficult economic time, Ed, as you indicated. I want to make sure I'm real clear about these two riverfront projects, or these two water projects. Port Gardner Wharf is a Port of Everett project, and you're absolutely right. That company did file for bankruptcy.
Owing the city $1 million.
Owing the Port of Everett $1 million.
Of Everett $1 million.
And I have every confidence that if not that company, another company, when this economy turns, will make that into an incredible project. The 200 acres that the city owns is called Riverfront. It's the old Simpson Mill site. It's the old landfill site. That site was sold to a San Diego developer. We sold it to Oliver McMillan. And in fact, we met with them this week. The really good news about that project is they still have secured funding. And that project, albeit will be delayed because of the economy, they are prepared to start as soon as we see a turn economically. So that project will be mixed use, commercial, retail. There was plans for a hotel there as well, a theater complex, and a mix of residential living. And you know as well that we have that new 41st overpass down onto that site. So, you know, we're doing groundwork right now in preparation for that development start.
We're talking with Everett Mayor Ray Stephenson on Sound Living. Our phone number, 425-303-9070. And among the questions that we're asking you to ask the mayor, what project or change would you suggest to implement to make Everett immediately better for you? And we've got Karen on the line from Everett. Karen is joining us, and I think at the top of her list is recycling. Karen?
Yeah. Hi,
thanks
Mayor.
For joining us.
Hi,
hello,
Mayor.
Karen. How are you?
One, with having you talk about all of the new building that's going on and more people who are going to be coming to Everett, many of us have a big concern about recycling in our city and the apartment complexes. If you could wave a magic wand, how can we get recycling going on in the apartment complexes?
That decision is really one that will need to be negotiated between the local hauler, Rubatino, and the city of Everett. You know we have a recycling program, obviously, for residential, and there are some recycling programs in multifamily. I would be more than happy to have that dialogue with Rubatino. If this is of strong interest to our citizens, and I think it should be. The other thing that I would encourage you to do, because apartment owners can do this voluntarily, is reach out to them and encourage them to ask to participate.
Karen, thank you for calling.
Okay, thanks.
All right. We're talking with Mayor Ray Stephenson of Everett, and it is the program that's brand new to KSER. It's called Sound Living. Let's follow up on that just a little bit and take Everett into the 22nd century and find out what is in the works. There on the East Coast, there's a great deal of interest in what are called transition towns, and these are towns that are taking a look at peak oil. They're taking a look at diminishing availability of oil, increasing prices of energy, and are taking a leadership role in making their towns basically energy and food independent. Mm-hmm. Are there steps in process to do that in Everett? Are there discussions going on to, say, for the new parking deck that is being built in for the Providence Hospital, maybe making the top of that a giant solar panel so that electric cars can go into there, be in the shade during the day, plug in and recharge their batteries?
Well, you'd be interested to know, and I think Karen would appreciate this as well. We did receive a federal grant as part of the stimulus package. Earlier, we did a carbon footprint of the actual city of Everett as a public corporation. So we have a baseline of energy consumption. We also have a baseline of opportunities for us to pursue. Part of the grant that we receive will go to what I have identified as sort of low-hanging fruit. Where can we make investments in the city that will reduce electricity consumption, for example, or water consumption? And so we need to make that submittal by June 25th.
Have you identified anything yet?
We have a significant list that we're right in the process of prioritizing. The second part of that, however, which goes more to a citywide approach, we will actually do an analysis of the city and look at the carbon footprint of the city and then look for opportunities to make investments in the future that will affect energy consumption. I think a lot of what we do, and let me give you a couple facts here that I think will make some sense in terms of why it's necessary. The city of Everett's population is projected to double by 2040. We don't have a lot of land left. And what that means is people are going to have to live more vertically than they do in single-family homes. That's a big part of the redevelopment that's occurring downtown. We want a walkable downtown. We want people using public transportation. Eventually, we've got to get light rail not just to Linwood, but all the way to Everett. It needs to get to its job centers like Boeing and Payne Field. That's, I think, what the future is going to be like, Ed, as I sort of look in my crystal ball. is that we'll see a day for in our kids or our grandkids' generation where you have one car that you maybe that you use on weekends or for vacations, but you are using public transportation and you're living and working in the same place. And so that's the future that we're building to, trying to make our community less dependent on oil. We've done an awful lot in initiating purchases of hybrid buses. We have a fairly significant hybrid fleet. I think the next huge opportunity will be plug-in technology. And that will be important for the city of Everett, but will also be important as electric cars and electric vehicles become more predominant. One of my staff calls them, they're like hitching posts, that you'll be able to drive up anywhere in the city and actually plug in your car when you're there.
They're called parking meters. I want to talk about that, but we have another caller on the line. And we're talking with Mayor Ray Stephenson of Everett. This is Sound Living on KSER. And you're welcome to call and talk to, with the mayor as well, 425-303-9070. But we have Jim from Everett on the line with us. Good afternoon, Jim.
Good afternoon. My name's Jim Strickland, and it's ironic that Karen Erickson was the previous caller because she is the one person I've spoken with about this project idea, and I just wanted to bounce it off the mayor and see what you thought about it.
Okay, Jim.
Well, in order to make a stronger economy here in Everett, we need to provide a range of economic opportunities that matches the range of people we have in our city, and we do have quite a range of talents and ability levels here in Everett.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, what do you think about the idea of introducing some kind of a Made in Everett label where we are able to raise public awareness about the importance of buying local and patronizing our local businesses and give businesses a chance to apply for this Made in Everett label or maybe even something as large as Made in Snohomish County, where we give recognition to those businesses that are actually using parts and labor from our local community. Do you think something like that would be helpful?
Absolutely. I think that's a great idea. I'm trying to think how the best way to approach it. I certainly would be open to sitting down with you and some of the folks that you know that would be interested to explore this. You know, we did this last holiday season really emphasize buying locally in all that we did. I do a Mayor's Monthly Update on Channel 21 and encouraged it there, and we did some promotional work with the Downtown Association. But you're right. I mean, we have a range of incredible small businesses in this town, and I think a big part of this is how do we do a better job of working with them to market their products. You know, we're a city of 110,000 people, but every day about 87,000 people work inside of our corporate city limits. So we're clearly a job base as well.
How many leave Snohomish County to go to King County?
About 17,000. That's I'm curious that you would ask that, but yeah, we have about 17,000 people every day that leave Snohomish County to go to King County to work. And I think the future, Ed, is corporations are going to have to look for smaller satellite operations that keep their workers closer to where they live. Or they could move those businesses here. That'd be all right, too.
Jim, thanks for calling.
Thanks, Jim. Please contact me at the city, and I'd be happy to talk more with you about this.
Thank you very much.
You bet, Jim.
We're talking with Everett Mayor Ray Stephenson on Sound Living. I'm Ed Bremer. The phone number 425-303-9070. And assuming that the mayor has omnipotent powers for a 24-hour period, what one change would you suggest that he make that might make Everett a better place for you personally? How much power, influence, authority can you wield to businesses to compel them or to urge them or to jawbone them to make green decisions? Again, I want to go back just for a minute to this idea that the new parking lot, the roof of the new parking lot that is being built the roof of the new gymnasium for Everett Community College be turned into a giant solar panel. And rather than just waste that space, use it for gathering electrical power. And in the case of the parking lot, it could be filtered into plug-ins where people could plug in their electric car. The car stays cool during the day and it gets recharged. And maybe it's like a parking meter that they swipe their credit card and they pay for that kind of a project. Can you, as the mayor, can the city council jawbone people into making decisions like that that they might otherwise not make?
That's a great question. Where you're going to see it first, and where we were talking about downtown earlier, when the city council passed the downtown comprehensive plan, for the first time we put height restrictions on certain streets. But we also provided incentives for developers to build to lead standards. If they do that, there's a series of investments they make. They can actually get higher buildings, almost double what the standard is if they're making critical environmental investments. I'd invite you and your listeners to go out and take a look at Gray Wolf Hall at Everett Community College. That is a LEED Gold building, I believe. It has dedicated parking for hybrid vehicles. It has covered and locked area for bicycles that will encourage people to ride to college. The way the building is been located, there's natural ventilation. The windows actually open, so it cools in the summer by wind. The way it's located, it's not, the sun's not glaring, but then it takes advantage of a lower sun in the winter to keep the building warm. So there's some really innovative kinds of things that are occurring. We try to encourage those through development standards. And I'm absolutely convinced that people will invest more in that technology. The other thing that's interesting to note, in our riverfront development, the developer at our request indicated that they will build that entire development to LEED Silver standard. If they don't, there's $1 million penalty to the developer if they don't do that. But I think the really enlightened developers and people who are building new buildings realize these are the kinds of buildings that people want to live in and they want to work in. And so it's taken on sort of a whole marketing kind of attitude in terms of what will sell.
And do you think that that's going to sustain itself when the economy turns around and when it's we've forgotten $4 a barrel oil or $4 a gallon gas and that it's no longer chic to be green?
Well, I'll tell you, if our ridership in Everett Transit is any example, I think that those changes that we saw when gasoline went to $4 a gallon have sustained themselves. When I came to office in 2003, we had about 1.5 million riders a year. We have seen gradual increases and continued ridership at a level of about 2.5 million riders a year. So we're seeing more and more people use public transportation than we've ever seen. So I think people's attitudes have changed. And the other thing that I'm encouraged about, and you said, when the economy improves, will people build this way? Will they live this way? I think we're going to see tremendous help and support and incentives and grants from the federal government like we've never seen them before. And I can tell you, my staff at all different levels, from transportation projects to building projects, we are all researching and working on grants all the time to take advantages of as much of that as we can for our city.
We're talking with Everett Mayor Ray Stephenson. We've got Ron on the phone. We're going to talk to Ron just after this. We're going to take a break first, and we'll get a little bit of traffic report, speaking of the road home. Get a traffic report for you this afternoon, and then we'll be back with more of Sound Living with Everett Mayor Ray Stephenson here on KFCR.
It's Sound Living on 90.7 FM, KSER, Independent Public Radio on the Sound. Checking blocking conditions, I-90 westbound, just west of 148th Avenue Southeast. There's a collision blocking three right lanes, and there will be a Mariners game tonight at Safeco Field, beginning at 7:10 p.m., so expect significant traffic impacts and plan accordingly. Coming up on 3:40 here on Your Sound Adventure, and the mayor is waiting for your call, 425-303-9070, to ask your question to Everett Mayor Ray Stephenson here on KSER.org.
And we are back on Sound Living. The phone number, 425-303-9070. What one project or change would you suggest to the mayor that he implement to make Everett immediately and forever better for you? And we've got Ron on the phone with us this afternoon. Ron, thanks for your patience and for waiting this afternoon. Are you with us, Ron?
Hello. Yeah, hi. This is Ron Topi. How you doing, Ed?
I'm fine.
Mr. Mayor.
Hey, Ron. How are you?
Pretty good. It's really encouraging to hear that the city's calculated its eco footprint. I wasn't aware of that, but I was really surprised he didn't mention bicycles in there as a process to reduce the footprint of downtown, and the bike plan that Alta Planning is actually working on for the city. Plug-in cars are great and they'll help, but they still use electricity, where bicycles don't. So I'm wondering if you would be behind, a city ordinance requiring bike lanes for any new paving projects or new development that occurs in the future, along with that bike plan when all is done with it. And if you would be behind a possible car-free zone in downtown Everett.
All right, Ron, let's find out. Car-free zones, mandatory bike paths. There's part of the plan for the redevelopment of downtown is bike paths. You're talking about making some of the parking that is currently head-in parking. You're making a parallel parking and things of that nature along, Hoyt? Is
on
that?
Hoyt.
Hoyt,
right.
Yeah.
Ron, thanks for your question. I touched a little bit on bikes relative to community college, but thank you for reminding me. I'm a biker.
Do you bike to work?
I have, yes, and I did the bike to work day this last month as well. So I have my 10-speed in the garage, and I'm out early several mornings a week. But, we are doing, and you touched on it, we are doing a comprehensive plan on increasing and identifying and communicating a significant bike plan throughout the city of Everett. You probably also have heard recently that we're in the process of beginning an engineering effort and construction expected to start next year, where we're going to make improvements on Rucker and Hoyt. And, Ed, you touched on Hoyt. A lot of people prefer to use Colby, I would just say that, but there will actually be a full bike lane on Hoyt. The other project, Ron, you may not be aware of, between the Port of Everett and the City of Everett, we're going to put sidewalks and a bike lane all the way from the Alverson Bridge on West Marine View Drive all the way up to the Credit Union. So that whole piece, as part of stimulus money, will be completed.
And then we'll
that. Yeah. But specifically to your idea of a car-free area. I know some cities have tried that. We've talked about it a very little, but are still exploring that. The one thing that I hear pretty consistently as well is more opportunities for people who bike to work to have the ability to park those bikes near the buildings that they work in. And so that will be part of our part of our bicycle plan as well. So, yeah, it's a great way to travel to work, and I think for a city that's more livable and more contained, and we're living closer to where we work, I'm a big proponent of bikes.
Ron, thanks for your call this afternoon.
Thanks,
yeah,
Ron.
Thank you.
You bet, Ron.
We're talking with Mayor Ray Stephenson of Everett, 425-303-9070. If you have a question for the mayor, if you have an idea that a change that he could make, if he could make the change that would make life in Everett a little bit better for you. Let's explore just for a little bit more this idea of a car-free downs. Because I wonder if you can really do that, since, as I understand it, part of the redevelopment project and the re-beautification project is going to be done on the backs or with money raised from parking fines. The name involves Rucker
and
Hoyt, and that part of the beautification money is going to be coming from parking fines. This coming on the decision of the city council to do away with the opportunity to pay less if you pay your fine, and I'm sure that was just a coincidence, right, that those two things come apart a week. So it's not really very viable for you to make downtown car-free if part of the redevelopment and the beautification is going to be paid for by parking ticket fines.
I think what, as I understand Ron's recommendation and the way car-free areas work, is that we would identify a specific area in the community or in downtown that would be car-free. People are still going to use automobiles. We hope that they use more efficient automobiles or electric automobiles in the future. But the transition of downtown, Ed, is really going to be one of trying to encourage less traffic, and particularly less drive-through traffic. Let me give you a quick example. The traffic on Rucker, about 50% of it going north, is pass-through traffic. It doesn't live in Everett. It's actually using Rucker as a bypass to go to points north and east. The plan that we have to redevelop Hoyt and Rucker will narrow the lanes and put it'll be more pedestrian-friendly on Rucker from Hewitt to Everett Avenue. One other thing that we're working on is Everett Avenue, and a lot of people don't realize this, is actually a state highway. A lot of truck traffic uses that road. We want to redirect that traffic onto Marine View Drive and have already requested of the state that we take that street back so we can get that truck traffic that really bifurcates our downtown.
Where would the trucks go?
Well, the East Marine View Drive improvement is very near completion, so the whole loop around North Everett will be completed, and that's the primary truck route. But the other improvement that we've requested federal funds to do is to improve the intersection of Marine View Drive and Pacific and Rucker and 41st and Rucker, to allow truck traffic going south to use that route as opposed to going through the middle of our town on Everett Avenue or Pacific. So there's really, I think, an effort to sort of look at all kinds of different transportation modes that are more environmentally friendly. And I think it's, my sense is, you know, my crystal ball, and I read a lot, but there are a lot more experts out there than me. But I think that, you know, our energy issues are going to be solved by a combination of solutions. It's not going to be one. It's not going to be plug-in. It's not going to be just public transportation. It's going to come in a lot of different components. But come it must. I mean, we absolutely have to reduce our dependence on oil.
And we're talking this afternoon with Ray Stephenson on Sound Living here on KSER. You're welcome to call and talk with the mayor as well if you have an idea that you think would make life for you better in Everett immediately, and you'd like to tell the mayor what that is. 425-303-9070, the phone number if you'd like to join us here on Sound Living this afternoon. We've got BBC News coming up at 4, left, right, and center at 4:30, and at 5 o'clock, Democracy Now! And on Smart City this afternoon, we're going to take a look at where are the best neighborhoods in the country. That's on Smart City this afternoon. Just one more question, actually two more questions about the bike-friendly idea, and this is going back. Was it a coincidence that the city council decided that they were going to do some of the beautification of the redevelopment with parking fines, and then the next week they decide that they're going to eliminate the opportunity to pay your fine early and pay less? It seems like it's too close to be a coincidence. And having just paid a parking ticket, by the way, I have to, in interest of full disclosure here, I just paid a parking ticket.
Yeah, I heard about this at home, too. So, when we prepared the 2009 budget, we decided at that point if we were going to build a funding mechanism to make these streetscape improvements in downtown, we needed to take that source of revenue that was going into the general fund and dedicate it to a capital fund. So that work actually began, and that decision was decided on about this time last year as we were preparing the 2009 budget. Even with the discounted amount, Ed, we see about $400,000 a year in parking fine revenue just in the downtown. So when we took this plan to the city...
$400,000?
A year.
Just from parking tickets?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So we have not assumed that amount is going to increase, even though the parking fine, which is traditionally $20, but as you mentioned, has had the discounted amount, we are not projecting any additional revenue for this investment. The real reason for the change in the parking fines and the elimination of the discount is this. And this is always a head-scratcher for me. For employees who work downtown and park on the street and get a fine and pay it immediately, it's cheaper for them to do that than to rent monthly parking off-street. So the whole idea here is to get those parking spots opened up for customers who are buying, you know, the goods and services that our downtown merchants provide, and get those that are working downtown to make a commitment to either ride or bike, use public transportation, or if they're driving, use off-street parking.
Do you regret that when they built the new event center, they didn't include a parking garage with that?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question because we just did a parking study. That was another action that the council authorized. We made a report to the council a couple weeks ago, and in this parking study, they identified a area of where the next parking structure should go. And by the way, they're projecting that even in a good economy, a parking structure will probably not be necessary for 6 to 8 years.
With my luck, it's going to be in my neighborhood.
I hope not. But the interesting thing was we asked them to specifically look at the event center. And these are professionals, and they said to us, that is not the location for a parking garage. If you put a parking garage there, it's going to be dark most of the time. And when you're thinking, I mean, these parking garages are significantly expensive, you know, anywhere from $25,000 to $45,000 a stall to build. My hope is that people will use more public transportation, bike, walk to work, and the longer we can delay the necessity for additional parking, the better off we're all going to be.
We're talking with Mayor Ray Stephenson on Sound Living here this afternoon, and coming up at 4 o'clock, we'll have some BBC News for you. A lot of other topics that I had on my list that I wanted to try and get to you, so with you this afternoon, I want to see if I can get to some of them. The 2009 budget was balanced.
Mm-hmm.
But the revenue shortfall, increase in prices anticipated for next year. The budget came on after some wrangling between you and the city council. There was some suggestion that maybe you weren't as forthcoming with the city council over the budget as maybe would be convenient or better for them. Have those differences been ironed out? And what's your projection for 2010's budget?
Well, I don't quite remember it that way. You may be confusing me with another governmental agency. We've actually had a very collegial relationship with the council regarding the budget. Our budget in 2009, the original budget, was about 1% less than 2008. In early 2009, the first quarter, we made about a $4.2 million downward adjustment. But what we did about, well, more than a year ago, the departments really watched their spending throughout the year. So we were able to save $4 million in 2008 and put that into 2009 to cover that shortfall. I'm happy to report that through April, we are about $1 million to the good. Our departments are running about $1.5 million under budget, and we've seen revenue fall off about another $400,000. So,
you know, you're right. I did confuse you with another governmental agency, and I apologize.
That's
for that.
All right.
You don't look anything like him. The idea of city councilmen represented being elected by districts, that comes up just about every election. There's a strong feeling in South Everett that they are underrepresented or not represented because you and everybody else lives in North Everett. Is there any idea that that would get traction, that there could be a district election of city councilmen rather than at large?
Well, you know, it's always curious to me when people, first of all, identify me as somebody from North Everett. I was born in Riverside and grew up in Pinehurst. So I've spent the lion's share of my 62 years living in South Everett. The other thing, I think because we have had the good fortune of seeing different and living in different parts of the city, my wife and I are in our 11th house. So I've lived almost everywhere in Everett, and I think I have a pretty good sense of what the different parts of the city, what their needs are. The other thing that's really been good for us, Ed, is that we have a vibrant neighborhood organization, 19 organized neighborhoods. I visit there. I'm out every month, have been since I was first elected. And so I get the communication has really been quite strong. But specifically, you asked about districts or in some cities are called wards. I don't believe that's the fairest representation for our citizens. I've seen it in other cities. I think council members running citywide really have to be concerned about the entire city, not just their specific area. And so I've always opposed, the district kind of concept. The rest of the council would, or the council members would have to, speak to this themselves. But I think when I served on the Everett City Council, I lived in Sylvan Crest, which is near Valley View. So I was a South Everett at the time. So I think it's for me, it's maybe just more of a moment in time that the seven council members that we currently have and the mayor happen to be concentrated more into North Everett. But in time, that will change.
Mayor, there's a lot of questions that I didn't get to ask you, so
yes.
I'm going to invite you back and have you come back, and we'll do this again sometime. Thank
I've
you.
I've enjoyed it very much.
And congratulations to you for being elected president of the Puget Sound Regional Council on Transportation. We expect to see good things from that coming to Everett.
Okay. All right.
You've been listening to Sound Living on 90.7 FM KSER. I'm Ed Bremmer. Our guest has been Everett Mayor Ray Stephenson. Sound Living is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of your public radio station, and we'd like to know what you think. Email us, news@kser.org, or call us at 425-303-9070. Sound Living is a new program featuring interesting guests, provocative ideas, and evocative concepts that combine to make living in the North Puget Sound unique and enviable. I'm your host, Ed Bremmer. Thank you for listening. Stay tuned. BBC News coming up next, followed at 4:30 by Left, Right, and Center. Democracy Now! At 5, and tonight on Smart City, what cities have the hottest neighborhoods? Stay with us here on 90.7 FM KSER. Thanks for listening.
This is the place to get your questions and comments on the air. It's community radio for Everett and the world beyond at kser.org. Yes, indeed, 90.7 FM KSER. Coming right up, BBC News. It is 3:59 and 30 seconds. And traffic through Everett is really bad, northbound 5. Major stop-and-go pods. It's huge. Everybody's heading out of town. But the trestle is looking fine. Eastbound 2 is good. And let's take a quick check of the blocking incidents. I-90 westbound, just west of 148th Avenue Southeast, collision blocking two right lanes. Still happening down there. That's it for the blocking incidents that could affect you in the KSER listening area. There will be a Mariners game tonight down in Seattle, 7:10 p.m. to approximately 10 p.m. So expect significant traffic impacts and plan accordingly. Thanks so much for listening to Independent Public Radio 90.7. BBC News is up in just a moment.
Support for KSER comes from members and Puget Sound Energy, reminding tree planters to place new trees away from utility lines. Choosing the right tree and the best place to plant encourages healthy trees and service reliability. Details are at pse.com. Puget Sound Energy, the energy to do great things.
BBC News with Lapa Kotari. The British Prime Minister Gordon Brown has defied calls for his resignation, despite the resignation.